We'll kick off our post-race Coca-Cola 600 press conference with our winning team owner, Richard Childress, and winning team crew chief, Justin Alexander. Pretty obviously emotional and exciting and historic win for you, Richard. I'll start off with you. First win in the number three car since October 15th, 2000, with the legend, NASCAR Hall of Famer, Dale Earnhardt. Maybe just kick off with the obvious. How does it feel to get the three back in the victory lane?
You know, I'm so proud. You know, it took several years. We didn't even run the three for many years. And to bring it back, I think 3 years ago, right here at Charlotte and did our announcement, I think this is going into our fourth year with the three. It's just unbelievable. And have my grandson just made it that much more special. And I know Dale's up there smiling down because he'd want this win. He'd want to see it with Austin. I didn't want to put just anyone in the three car. I would have probably never brought it back. And we kept the number with NASCAR throughout the whole time, and we ended up when the opportunity was there to put Austin back in. He started in the Truck Series, and he won races there, and he won races in the Xfinity with it, and Ty's won with it. But today is special here in Charlotte on Memorial Day, such a special day for all the people that have gave so much to this country for us all to be here tonight, to be able to enjoy what we're doing. I'm just honored to be here. And at the, can you believe this, the Coke 600, Austin Dillon, and the three. When I really got emotional was looked up, you know, you got to be a little emotional, but for sure. But when I looked up and seen the three on top of the board, and I was standing there doing an interview, that's when I got emotional. It's so special to see that three in winner's circle again.
Congratulations, Richard. And Justin, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday it came out that you would be joining the number three team, and you're here immediately. So one for one, congratulations. And obviously it was a big strategy call at the end because of it. So maybe just talk about the closing laps there.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, we had a good car all race. We run top 10 all race. Austin did a heck of a job. The whole team did. You know, we were right there in position on that last stop when the caution came out. You know, we were two or three laps short, and just right in that window where you want to you have an option to stretch it, you know, but you also there's a risk with that. You give up a little track position early on trying to stretch it on fuel. So we got good fuel mileage all day, and you know, it really didn't make any much sense to do anything but that, really. And he didn't really have to back off that much. We didn't really give up any spots on the racetrack doing it, being, I think, right around 10th when we started saving. But Austin did a heck of a job, everyone on this team. You know, I was surprised more guys didn't do it, honestly. But, you know, everything just worked out, and couldn't be proud of everybody.
Thank you, Justin. Okay, we'll open it up to questions, and let's start right here. Go down the line, Bob, Kenny, Daniel, Jeff, and everyone else.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. Richard, do you feel like justify your putting Austin in the three?
I think it shows that he deserved to be in the three. Like I said, I was not just going to put anyone in. It had to have been one of the Childress family or one of the Earnhardts, and it just worked out that Austin ran the three when he ran his first Bandolera race here. And he's always run the three in everything he's ran, and it's just unbelievable to have it in winner's circle tonight. And you know, he doesn't show emotion and pressure, but I can tell you, away from the track and all, and talks and stuff, he knew how much he wanted to win for the three fans, and he knew how much he wanted to win for our family and everybody involved, all of our sponsors, and just really proud of him.
Kenny.
And Justin, you made a hell of a call, buddy.
Thank you.
Kenny Burgess with NASCAR.com. Richard, I don't want to say did you ever think it was a mistake, but did you ever question whether you should have brought the three back or not, even before maybe Austin got into it, but did you kind of second-guess yourself and think maybe I shouldn't have brought it back?
You know, I never second-guessed myself bringing it back, but I did have a lot of thoughts about bringing it back and the pressure it would be on whoever got in the car. Dale Jr. won the race for us in We's won a couple of races in the three, you know, RCR, and it just was to see him win. That was one of the big healing moments in 2002 when he won in Daytona in the three. And I knew it would be, I wanted to bring it back, but it had to be something special to bring it back, and to have my grandson to put him in it was unbelievable.
Daniel and then Joe.
Dan McFadden with NBC Sports. For both of you, at what point in those closing laps did you allow yourself to believe that that gamble would work and allow yourself to think that it could be a possibility? And for Richard, where in the Richard Childress Hall of Fame is or museum is this car going to go?
Well, first, I don't know if I want him to put it away. This is a brand new car we brought this week, chassis number 600. Believe it or not, kind of ironic. No, I don't know. It seemed like a. I really thought more guys were going to do this strategy and we're going to play this out. But the 78 was catching us fast. They pitted to put tires on and they were coming and they were catching us about a second a lap. With about 25 to go, and they were really on pace to catch us and pass us. I knew it was going to be tough for us at the end. I knew we were probably going to have to run hard at some point to stay ahead of them. And then with Jimmy out there, you know, he was out there ahead of us trying to save fuel as well. And you know, just can't say enough about Austin and you know, doing what he had to do to save the fuel that we needed to bring it home.
What was the question for me? I'm sorry. You know, I came on there and asked him, I said, do you think we can make it? And one of our engineers said, we're going to make it. So I was pretty solid. And then at the end, we got when a light comes on, that gives you a certain amount, tells you got so many laps. Justin come on there with, I think, three to go and said, turn the switch on and go hard. And I knew we had a shot then. When he came with two to go, I felt we had a shot.
We now welcome in the winning driver of the Coca-Cola 600, driver of the number three Dow Salute Veterans Chevrolet, and that is Austin Dillon. Austin, I don't know if you know the stat, but you are the 10th different driver to have posted their first Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series win at Charlotte, joining such legends as David Pearson, Buddy Baker, Jeff Gordon, Matt Kenseth. All those did that in the Coke 600, and now you, Austin Dillon. Obviously, I think you're a little bit happy with your entrance. Maybe just talk about the feelings right now.
Well, they haven't sunk in by no means, but you know, I did know that a lot of winners come from the Coke 600 for the first time, and I talked about it today in an interview, and it hadn't sunk in, truthfully. I'm just so proud of all the effort that all these guys put in. I really feel like I have the best team and the best pit crew, and I have no doubt in them, and my grandfather has done everything he can to give us the best we can get. And sometimes I feel like we're the small team out there trying to get everything we can. And tonight proved that 600-mile race, when it came down to it, we had everything we needed. And it just feels amazing. And the good Lord above definitely blessed us. In my car, Whitney always writes a verse before the race. And it said, if you put God first, He can take you places you never imagined. And I wouldn't imagine to be at my home track in Victory Lane tonight, the Coke 600. So, and we had an angel on board, too, on the windshield with Joshua Harris. It's pretty cool to take a hero to Victory Lane, a guy, a Navy SEAL, that is a true hero in this country. So a lot of special things going on and just happy.
Okay, please raise your hand again so I can get some of the new names here. We'll start off with Al. I'm sorry, Joe, you've been waiting, and then we'll go down.
Austin, Joe Manzer, FoxSports.com. Austin, you know, could you just talk a little bit about, you know, the pressure that came with, you know, being in the three and how, you know, you made it through 3 years plus without, you know, ever despairing that you'd get to this moment again?
Yeah. I attribute that to my family. From the very beginning, my grandfather has challenged us with everything. He's a true hero also, starting with nothing and making RCR into what it is today. he pushed me and my brother to go on hunting trips that I don't think most people would go on. So the toughness has always been there, and it came from him and my dad and my mom, all my family members. And now to be able to deliver a number that is legendary and has stats that are untouchable, and just to add to those numbers in something that him and his best friend were able to create, it's very special. And to all those fans that have supported it too, because, you know, there's always haters out there, but there's a lot of support too. There's a great support system, and to deliver this to them, the people that were proud to see that number three out on the track, it feels amazing.
Yeah, Richard L. Pearson, Auto Week. Fair to say this is the most emotional race you've been at since the night we lost Dale. And if it is it like what you thought it would be? Because you knew eventually the three car would win again. Is it like you thought it would be?
Like Austin said, it has sank in, but I didn't really get terrible emotional because I was still in shock, I think. But when I looked up and seen the three at the top of the board at the Coke 600 and knowing my grandson was in it and how special it was for all the fans, and what a special weekend here for everybody that's gave so much to give every one of us the opportunity in this country we have, it makes it even more special. I mean, I can't just say really how I feel inside because it's going pretty strong.
Go, Nate.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Austin, before you came in here, Richard was talking about how he wouldn't have given this car to anybody but you, and that he feels as if you have some special qualities, attributes that allow you to just maybe internalize things and handle all the pressure. Can you speak to that? I mean, why do you feel like you're able to just shoulder all of it and go?
I put it on him, truthfully. Like I said, he's taught me a lot. And to be quite honest with you, this past week we had an argument about our race cars performing. Like, face-to-face, full-on argument with your grandfather. And we made it through it, and we're in victory lane this weekend, and it feels damn good. So just letting you know, he's not only my grandfather, he's my boss too. And it feels amazing to be able to have a good conversation with him and him to listen to me and take what little advice I know, because he's been doing this for so many years, and to give me the enough respect to just hear me out, and because I'm hard-headed, man. I'm not going to lie. My fiance can vouch for that. And I'm going to dig until I get to victory lane and I'm competitive, and the team that we built around me are the same way. My pit crew has been awesome all year long. So great. And my team has given us everything they can get. We added a piece with Justin, his demeanor. I mean, he had ice in his vein tonight, man. Make the call and let the guys go to work. Houston on top of the spotter stand, he never wavered. We're racing one of the best of all time, tied with the top, all the champions, Jimmy Johnson. And the place where I've watched him win races here multiple times sitting in turn one. He's the best. I've always thought he could get through turn one better than anybody. And to come down and pass him off of turn two in a chess match of a race where it comes down to fuel mileage, it feels really good. Just wanting more, man. I want to put the three car in victory lane. That was what it's about.
He's won twice this week. I think he won that argument. And I've seen Eric Worm and Sammy Johns come in, and they put so much in it. And, you know, this sport is demanding. It's demanding on your emotions, it's demanding on what you want to do, and when you get down, everybody wants to kick you, and it's tough when you're, and we wasn't down. I told someone the other day, I said, we're not down, we're just trying to figure our way to get back to where I know we're capable of running, and I know we got the people, I know we got the equipment. Like Austin said, we may be the smaller of all the teams out there because of some of the resources. We have everything it takes to win with. And we got great sponsors, so you know, I'm not a billionaire for sure, like some of them.
And that's the truth, though. He gives us everything we need, and it's frustrating when you suck. So we had to get our stuff together, and we still got work to do. We did our job tonight. We put ourselves in a top 10 position the entire night, and we outraced him at the end. My engineer Chavi always talks to me about you know, even if we don't have the fastest car, we need to take advantage of everything we can to be the best we can. And it was cool seeing him in victory lane, and just the focus he's given me is helped me a lot in my career.
Now we have a number of questions down here. Let me just check the press box real quick. Any questions in the press box?
We have three questions from the press box.
How about it?
Jim Utter with Motorsport.com. Congratulations, Austin.
Thank you.
A lot of people will talk about the fuel mileage gamble that won the race, but you actually spent most of the race running in the top 10. Did you feel there was something different about your team's performance tonight?
Yes. I felt like we did our jobs. We took a car that was capable of running 5th to 8th, and we took it to victory lane. And if we get the track position, it's probably better than that, truthfully. I mean, it had times in the race where we were the fastest car. Pit crew did an amazing job. I had a really good restart and then an okay restart, and that hurt us, but it also put us in a position where I could be smart and save fuel. So this track position is tough, but, man, that's what the 600 is about. There's strategy. There's staying in the race. It's a lengthy one, and you got to keep yourself in it to win it, and we did that.
Next question in the box.
Christian Coley on PitRed.com. First of all, congratulations on the win, Austin. I have two questions for you, Austin. My first question is, how good does it feel to finally deliver a victory to the younger fans of the three car, the ones that are kind of the newer fans of the three? And my second question is, do you feel like this victory makes you look different in the eyes of the older fans of the three car?
It feels awesome, like I said earlier, to all the supporters that have been behind us in the three car, and feels amazing. And to those that don't, I feel sorry for them because I hope it just keeps going. I hope this feels good to them, though. It does. I mean, it's pretty cool to see the three, like my grandfather said, on top of the pylon tonight.
Next question in the box.
Chris Knight, CatchFest.com. Austin, congratulations on the win. How does it feel to put two RCR cars in the playoffs, and how do you guys approach the rest of the regular season?
Not going to lie, I was jealous of Newman getting the first win. So I've been buddying up to him lately and really talking to him and picking his brain because he's a really smart guy. And he's I've talked to him this week in the phone, just kind of talking and trying to get our stuff better together, and grown to really, really like Ryan, and it feels amazing to join him, and now we can take two cars to the chase and hopefully make some noise.
Okay, bring it back down here. We'll go to Pete.
Austin, you know, with all the – I'm over here. Austin, with all the talk about some of the younger guys in the series, the Chase Elliotts, Daniel Suarez, did you almost feel like you were kind of aging out a little bit here because
I'm the coolest one.
Did you feel like you were getting like kind of lost in this
lost in
of
the sauce
guys?
I don't know. It's all about performance. They're going to talk about you more when you perform well. Those guys have been performing well, and I knew we could do it and run well, but we just got to do it more consistently, and when we do, I think they'll talk about us.
Deb Williams, RacingToday.com. Austin, right here. First of all, congratulations. And I have one for Austin, one for Richard. One, Austin, when you saw Jimmy Johnson run out of gas, what went through your mind and how did you keep your emotions in check? And you addressed the playoff, but Richard, after you struggled the way you have the last few years, what does having two cars in the playoffs now mean to you?
Seeing Jimmy, I mean, at that point, I'm super focused, you know. At that point, I'm eyes on what I'm not getting too anxious of, like, oh my gosh, we're going to win. I'm just trying to stay focused on what we had to accomplish. When I saw him run out off of two, it was back to conserve mode, truthfully, on fuel, which is scary because you're like, oh, you can think about pushing it harder and just coasting to the line because there's only two to go. And just conserve as much as I could to make it to the point I needed to and stay on the path that I was going. I never changed the direction. Once I started saving, I was really smooth letting out of the gas, really smooth back to the gas, no brake, and just tried to stay as smooth as I could. And I knew the laps were counting down, and these guys, I knew that they wanted me to go past Jimmy, but I knew he was right there, and if I had to make it in a lap, I felt like I could do it. So it worked out, and that actually kind of took some pressure off me when you ran out, truthfully. As soon as that happened, I went back to my mode because they had just kind of cut me loose, and I went in, and I caught him a bunch, and then he ran out. So it was like, all right, back to the mode, you're fine, and then bring it home.
Yeah, to have two cars, Deb, in the chase, it's great, but like Austin said earlier, we got a lot of work to do. And I said this, and like Justin said, this new car tonight is a step up. We just know we got to get them for Paul and for Ryan. And I think if we keep improving like we did with this car and some of the things that I know that Eric and his group are working on, I think we can show a different company when it comes to going into the chase. We're going to give it everything we got for sure.
I don't know. It feels good to me, but and that was the best of all time. And I'm just glad to add to the legacy of it, and I want to keep adding to it as much as I can. It does feel good, and it takes pressure off. Off subject, I want to thank Eric Warren, too. He's helped me a lot and doing a lot of different things in our shop, and then with the decision to take Justin to this position, he's always had his eye on Justin and really believed in him, and he helped me help make this decision, so feels really good, and I'm sure it feels good to him. But yeah, I feel good in the number two, Bob.
And I don't know about your Twitter feed this week, but mine after the chief change was all about how it's not the crew chief problem, it's a driver problem, and this guy just whines and he, you know, doesn't deserve the ride. Did you see any of that stuff, and does it fuel you? Does it roll off your shoulders? I mean, how does it?
Haters gonna hate, but they keep sipping that haterade. But
I was on Twitter for a while, and I said I
had to
get off
everybody
of
on Twitter.
I had to get off of it because I wanted to invite them down to the Walmart parking lot. So I figured it's better that I didn't.
Old Twitter trolls, you know. But I didn't look at that. I'm just glad we proved them wrong. Feels pretty dang good. Feels good. The other thing about Justin is I've never worked with an engineer, calm guy. He's totally different background than what I'm used to working with. And he fits. It's cool. I mean, this week was relatively just smooth. We didn't argue. We talked about the race car, and that's what I needed. I needed someone that wanted to teach me and talk about it, not tell me what was wrong with it. And felt good to actually work together and get to the point where we are now.
Kenny?
Kenny Bruce from NASCAR.com. One for Justin and one for Austin. Justin, you realize you've set the bar pretty high now. Going to be a lot of expectations. How familiar were you with that group when they asked you to come over and take over?
With the three team?
Yes.
I've worked with most of those guys. Being on the 27, being on the 2 Xfinity car, I've worked with a lot of the guys, the engineers I've worked with throughout the years, just being teammates with them. And I've worked with the pit crew. The pit crew has been our pit crew on the 2 Xfinity car, so I know those guys inside and out. Some of those guys were my pit crew on the 27 car. There's a few guys on there that I hadn't spent a lot of time with, but for the majority of the guys I knew, and you know, I'm continuing to get to know them better, and
We'll go here in the black shirt, waiting patiently, and then
I got one more.
I'm sorry, Kenny. Go ahead.
It's okay. Just a quick one, Austin. All the talk about the three car being back in victory lane. The last time it won, 2000, you were 10 years old. Were you at that race? Do you remember anything about it?
I don't know if I was at it. I was probably playing baseball, truthfully, at that point in time, playing other sports. But that's a testament to my family wanting me to do other things and try things. And, heck, I still ended up in a race car. Baseball bats were a lot cheaper. I know that.
Hill Overton, WIXC Radio. Richard, this is for you. You used to drive the three car. A lot of people may not know that before much anybody else did. When did you first acquire that number? That's question number one. Question number two, Justin made the great call. Were you nervous about that, or did you have full confidence that it ought to work out?
Hold on.
Yes.
His confidence is really funny, okay?
Okay.
Because he's always got to be right on the call. So it's a 50-50. I don't think I would have done that after the race, but it worked out. I knew that was the right call. So he knew it was the right call that Justin made before we get this going.
I knew it was going to work out when the engineer told me it was going to work out. That's the reason I asked him if it was if he was going to do it. Yeah, I drove the 3, and I think I got to 3 in like 76 maybe, 75, 76, along there somewhere. And Ray Fox, you know, a lot of my heroes drove the 3 back then, and it was a lot cheaper to put. Back then we had to paint the numbers on the car, and I wanted a single digit. And I knew Junior Johnson had driven it, and Junior was a great friend of mine. And it's a lot cheaper to put one digit on there than it was two.
Did you get it after Junior or after Ray?
After Ray, I think. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Good deal. Well, I'm glad the number got back.
Yeah, I talked to Ray quite a bit before his.
Okay, so well, how gratifying to get it here at your home track, to get the 3 back in victory lane at what has to be your home track now.
Yeah, it is, and it's, and to have Austin in the car and have our whole family here tonight. Ty went home after he had a problem, but he called Austin in Winter Circle, and that's how our, close our family is. And to see them all here tonight and be with them all, and know how special this was to all the 3 fans out there. With, I'd say it's 98% of the people wanted to see us bring it back, and you can't believe how many people come up to me and tell me over the last 3 years how happy they are to see the 3 car back out there. And to see Austin in is great.
Daniel?
Daniel McFadden with NBC Sports. Austin, you've won NASCAR races before. You've won at this track before. So when you're standing out there on the front stretch with your team waving the checkered flag and sliding through the grass, did being a Cup winner feel the way you expected it to? Or hoped it would?
I mean, not yet, man. I thought I was going to be bawling, crying, and I'm making it through it so far, but I'll say tomorrow it's going to sink in a lot, and tonight, it's truthfully, it's a testament to God. Like, he gave me this opportunity, put us in this situation to win, and it's unimaginable for me to be here, and the great team, great guys, I love them all, and it's just, it's very special. Can't believe it, man. It hadn't sunk in, and just feels really good. And I can't wait to see what comes. I think I get to park my motorhome in a different lot now. That's kind of cool.
Now we have a few more questions down here, but let's kick it back up to the press box real quick. Any questions up there?
No more questions from up here right now.
All right. Well, go here to the right.
Kyle Newman, Skyboat.com. Justin or Austin, this one's for you. How much coaching went into those last 70 laps when you were going down and trying to run perfect lap times to make it on fuel?
You know what the hardest thing in this whole deal is trust, and trust is a lot of it. And Justin trusted me with the skills that he thought I had to fuel save. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot. They told me lap times that I needed to be running, and they felt that we were comfortable with them. They told me when guys were gaining and losing that, hey, we can save more or not. But the trust is the biggest thing. Like, there wasn't an abundance of over-coaching. It was nice, and that's what made us get to where we are, I feel like. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and Austin did a heck of a job. You know, we told him what he needed to do. We knew what we had to do. We knew how many laps we needed to make up. We knew what he needed to do to make those laps up. We told him what to do, and, you know, he did it flawlessly. Honestly, it was perfect. He was able to maintain the gaps out back and not you know, not let it lose any track position. And
lucky number
3.
it was about 2.7, but yeah,
that's my engineer.
We told him we told him 3.
Cool.
That's tremendous. Okay, we'll go to the back to Jacob.
Back here, first year, James Pike, Performance Motorsports Network. One for Austin and Richard, same kind of question, but, you know, Austin, Richard, you know, Louisville, SCDS are hour and 15 up the way up 85 and 421, and you've slept down here, run the Bandos, run the Legends cars, and been here. And there's so many people that come in from where else to run here, but you've been here the whole time as a native North Carolinian, and now you've won the signature race at your home track. Just talk about the pride of being able to do that here at home and as a native son of the Tar Heel State to get it done, and Richard, for you as a grandfather, to see him do that.
Well, it feels great, man. I love my state. There's nowhere like home. Love North Carolina. Proud to be from North Carolina. And there's only a few of us left. I think it's me, my brother, Dale Jr., and semi-Ryan Blaney. He's kind of Ohio, North Carolina. So I would call it three, maybe four if I'm wrong. I don't know. There might be some more. But those are who I know from North Carolina. So it feels really good.
By the way.
Justin is too.
Like 4 miles down the road.
That's right. North Carolina boys.
There you go.
Yeah, it's what was the question for me?
Proud to be a North Carolinian?
Yeah.
There you go.
Definitely proud to be. Every time you get home, it's great. And to be here and win this race with your own grandson and the three car is just incredible. And be a big party up at Childress Vineyards tomorrow, I will assure you. It'll be a lot of victory cuvee been drank. That's our champagne.
He loves North Carolina, but we hope he spends more time in Montana. I'm just kidding. I don't want to go nowhere.
I may.
Jacob Zielman, Performance Motorsports Network. For both Austin and Richard, a lot's been made of the number, the significance, all of that. For both of you, does this kind of bring it full circle from everything that happened 2000, 2001 to Austin, you coming in and now getting to this point tonight? Does it kind of connect the circle from where Dale was to where you are?
I'll answer it, and then you can too. You know, nothing will ever replace Dale Earnhardt and the things that he accomplished in this race car. But all we wanted to do was go out and carry it on for the race fans that love to see that three and the Dale Earnhardt fans. And like I'd said earlier, I know there's pressure that was hidden inside Austin, how bad he wanted to win. And from the day he put the three on the Bandolier car, I think you had the three on when you played in the World Series, didn't you? Was on your jersey. And he, you know, he's always had a three, and he's been a big Dale fan. And it's just special to be here. And I don't know about a connect, but it's just so special for us to be here tonight and know what it means to everybody to have that three back in winner's circle.
I think he answered that perfectly, truthfully. But for me and the full circle of bringing the three back, it started right here, actually, in the room across the way. And we announced that we were going to do it, and we had three key things happen. We had partners that wanted to support it. My grandfather wanted to put me in it, and it all worked out. So those partners that were here from the very beginning, Dow, American Ethanol, it feels so good to deliver to them because they had to believe in me no matter what. You can believe in somebody saying he's good, but they believed in me. And they've been here every step of the way, and it feels so good to get them in victory lane. It was a beautiful car tonight, too.
Right here, Fox.
Chase Wall on FoxSports.com. Austin, I know it's late, and you guys are going to have the celebration at the Vineyard tomorrow, but what's the party going to be like tonight?
It ain't going to stop. I'm supposed to play basketball tomorrow at Hamlin's, our all-star game. I told him he came to Victory Lane, and I told him I might be a little late. I don't know. So they might have to take my place tomorrow. It could be a little upset.
Jonathan?
This is for Richard. Jonathan Merriman, NASCAR.com. Richard, how much did the ECR Cadillac motor that won the Rolex 24 kind of maybe foreshadow some of your success this year, and how much has that helped the Cup program working with those guys?
Yeah, it didn't take anything away from our Cup program. That's a total separate division that we work on the Cadillac, and we have won the last three races with it. We won Sebring, one other one, and the 24 Hours. So it's really a neat package, and to get to work with Delara and those guys over there and have Richie Gilmore and all his people involved, that didn't take away from us. But hopefully in the future, as NASCAR changes to different style engines, all of that will help us. And we just got such a great development group down there that works on that separate from everything else.
Go to Greg. Greg, raise your hand for me, please.
Hey, congratulations to all you guys. For Austin, the you know, everybody's talking about the three and all that, and you were talking about the haters and the drinking their haterade from all the with the crew chief change this week. But when you got out of the car in here in Victory Lane and I was walking across the track, I could feel these fans. It was like nothing you've ever heard. It was like this roar, this thunder. Could you feel that? And, I mean, did that kind of take all that away?
It does, man. That's what it's about. And the best guys have been hated in this sport, truthfully. And so if people don't like you, I mean, you're still doing something right, I feel like, because there's just as many that do. And it feels amazing. And if they say it was a fuel mileage race, they can kiss my ring. So,
Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Richard, on Monday, right here in the middle, it was announced Monday that you were putting Justin over on the three team. I was curious, what have you seen, you know, of all the, I guess, of the changes you could have made and the maybe somebody else you could have plugged in there, what have you seen from him since he's been in the organization and worked with a few different of your drivers that you wanted him on the three team?
Eric Warren and I had a lot of conversations, and then Eric, I think I was out of town. I was somewhere, and Eric did most of the work doing the changeover, but I knew Justin could do it. He went right over to the two car and started winning. He got Paul Menard in the chase a couple of years ago. I think it's been 2 years ago.
Do y'all know that the first time he crew chiefed me, Xfinity, we won? That's the first – that's both series he's come to me. We've won in our first time, so we're going to NHRA next. Y'all watch out.
Yeah, and – you know, it's just a lot of decisions had to be made, and nothing negative at all about Slugger. We just felt, all of us felt it was time for a change. Slugger helped us out throughout the years. We can't say nothing, wouldn't never say anything bad about Slugger. It was just time for a change. You could hear it in their voices. You could hear it in Austin's. And, you know, I've made changes. I made a change, probably one of the first crew chief chains in NASCAR that I know of when I changed for Dale Earnhardt and Mike Skinner back years ago, put Larry McReynolds down there, and I made that back in the 90s, and you just have to make those decisions. They're not always easy decisions, but when you got a great group of people around you and you work with the drivers, and Austin called me, we talked about it, and he told me he had made his mind up. He knew that that was the right thing to do. He had been talking to Justin and Eric and Sammy Johns, we spoke to all of us, talked about it, and it was a company decision, and proved tonight it was a good decision.
Oh, Caleb and then Mike.
Caleb Whistler, Speedway Digest. Austin, how did the VHT change the complexion of this race, and would you advocate that being used at more asphalt tracks on the circuit?
Yeah, I think it was pretty good to start the race like that. The middle groove had a lot of speed, took away from the bottom. That's usually dominant here, and the bottom got good again after the rain. The bottom was pretty dominant, and then as the race went on, I could actually see the VHT leaving the track, and it was getting clean higher and higher. So we've got something there as far as trying it. It's not a bad thing. I really think we should try it more often, and I think the next thing we need to look into is the placement of it. I feel like we needed more on the very top, because the middle was really dominant, but you couldn't really get into the top of it like you needed to. So that would be my next shot at it. It's not a bad thing at all. I like it.
Mike?
Mike Neff from frontstretch.com. For you, Justin, three laps, 2.7, whatever it was. At what lap total was it that you would make that call to decide to stretch it? Is there a number? Is it a gut feeling as to how far you think you could go? Do you have that in mind as the race develops, what that number was that you were going to shoot for?
No, we knew, you know, as soon as we pitted there with, I don't know how many, 67 or something to go, we knew right then we were 2.7 short, you know, and when you know that, when you figure that out, you have one of two choices. You can figure out how much you need to save and how many laps you need to save, or you can just run hard and hope there's a caution comes out. You know, and I think a lot of those guys up front, those guys with the leaders, they just ran hard. And you know, we ran hard for the first 10 laps, and we knew it was going to take about 50 laps of saving to get to where we need to go. So, you know, with 50 to go, we told him what he needed, and he did his job.
Okay, any final questions for our championship winning team? We'll go here, Daniel.
Austin, if before today, where would you have expected to get your first win if you'd had to take a wild guess over how you've performed the last 4 years?
Charlotte has been a really good place for us as far as winning the Xfinity Series. I feel like I get around here pretty good. I don't know. Pocono was really good for us last year, but I felt good about this track. Always have. Testing here one time, I found something, and the way I needed to run it, and it worked. Sorry I'm freezing up here, soaking wet, but I'm starting to shake. But this track has been really good to me. And I don't know if it's because I'm from here or what, but learned something a couple years back that helped me get around the track as far as lift points and what I needed to know. So I know what I want in the race car and try and give that information to Justin.
Any questions in the press box?
No questions in the press box.
Any last ones in the media center? Okay.
Thank you, Richard, guys, for staying here.
Justin,
thank all the press for all you do for NASCAR.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Congratulations.